welcome back, folks, and thanks for being here with us today. Couldn't get that one out quite right. Here on Conscious Talk, the website is conscioustalk.net, where you can find this show and a lot of other shows up in our archive section. You can download them for free. We also have a great resource section for you, and make sure you click on to our events section. We have a couple things coming up. I will be doing my second teleclass series with co-facilitators Patricia Varley and Lisa Thomas, and that's tomorrow, Pacific time, 4 to 6 p.m., Eastern time, 7 to 9 p.m. Ladies, this is for you, to support you, to step into your own, to be your authentic self, and it's free, but you must register, and you can go to our website, conscioustalk.net, and go to the events section and click there.
Well, okay, it's time for a little creativity tune-up, because we have J.V. Galindo with us. He's a self-proclaimed creative thinking dimwit. Wow, that's interesting. He has a penchant for over-exaggeration. Well, you know, we actually love his book. His book is The Power of Thinking Differently. It's an imaginative guide to creativity, change, and the discovery of new ideas. So, J.V., welcome to Conscious Talk.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Well, look, hey, you're in Silicon Valley. You're not a dimwit, but, you know, why would you consider yourself a dimwit? That's an interesting start.
Well, you know, I think it's good to be humble in order to learn new things. If you think you know something, you're kind of stuck and unable to explore new ideas.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of one of the points I have in my book, too, is that if we think we're right, if we think that we have all the answers, then we've kind of limited our perception. In order to think differently, we kind of have to always be guessing or second-guessing ourselves and willing to question what we think and how we see things.
Mm-hmm. So what you're really saying then, JV, is that sometimes our, if you will, arrogance or our perceived that we're right about everything really stymies our creativity. Is that sort of where you're going with this?
Well, that's certainly a big part of it. I mean, anytime you have arrogance, you kind of limit yourself. In a general sense, you know, just out of biology, we have a habit of imposing meaning onto the world, mm-hmm. of kind of following along with our assumptions blindly, because we need to do that to be efficient, right? We need to be able to say, that's a floor, I can walk across it, without having to analyze whether or not that's really a floor. We go through a hallway and walk through a door, we kind of have to assume that that door is really a door and not some dragon that's trying to eat us. So those assumptions help us live in the world efficiently, but they also limit the possibilities in our lives.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, recently we've been receiving a lot of books that approach the subject of imagination, and maybe it's because we've sort of been in this bit of a dark age, it seems like, with this lack of imagination. I'm not sure, but why do we have to learn to think differently? I mean, what's the rut we've gotten into?
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, that kind of brings up a good point in that there seems to be a trend culturally, at least in Western culture, to value rational thought, to value critical thinking, which is great, which is absolutely necessary. But it seems to be at the detriment of things like the imagination or things like play, which is all critical, too, in terms of us being able to find new insights about the world. So rationality only gets us a certain part of the way. And I go through in the book and describe how rationality is kind of limiting. It limits us to what our frame of reference is. So when we try to think of stuff rationally, what we're really doing is comparing new information to an old story of what we think the world works. But if we want to find new ideas and new ways of approaching problems or new ways of looking at our life, we kind of have to be able to step aside from a rational point of view in order to challenge our worldviews.
It mm-hmm. sounds like the proverbial think outside the box, mm-hmm. which has, you know, become such a cliche, but that's what you're talking about, right?
Oh, sure. And I mean, that's kind of where I'm coming from in one sense. You know, my background was as an electrical engineer, and part of being an electrical engineer was always being brought into these creative thinking workshops, you know, these out-of-the-box thinking workshops, mm-hmm. in order to get employees like me to be able to you know, quote unquote, think outside the box in order to help the company be more profitable, in order to help find new ideas or new products for the company to make. But another side of my background is the fact that I was a music instructor for about a decade. And that type of creativity felt different to me than what I was learning as an engineer. And wanting to find a relationship between the two, you know, trying to see if there's some sort of tie between, you know, this corporate creativity and creativity in art was kind of what drove me to even do the research of the book in the first place.
Well, the book is The Power of Thinking Differently, and the author is J.V. Galindo, and we're talking about the power of how thinking differently, folks, really matters. We're going to learn some things when we come back about the 10 steps and the myths of what he's talking about, so stay tuned. We'll be right back.
In the midst of crime.
If you were there for the dawning of the age of Aquarius, this message is for you. You can fight the effects of aging by eating right, exercising, and getting some garlic every day. The healing and health-giving properties of garlic are as wonderful as Venus aligning with Mars. And the easiest way to get all of garlic's benefits is with Kyolic Aged Garlic Extract. Natural aging makes organically grown kyolic a true antioxidant. Hospital and university studies show that kyolic aged garlic extract helps maintain healthy cholesterol levels and normal blood pressure while improving circulation. Kyolic even helps build your immune system so you can keep on keeping on. If you'd like a closer look at this independent research on kyolic, check it out on the web at www.kyolic.com. Kyolic aged garlic extract is for people who take their garlic and their health seriously. So look for Kyolic. You'll find it where quality natural supplements are sold.
You're listening to Conscious Talk, radio to live by.
Ugh, my breath needs some help. Can I get a piece of gum?
I don't have any. Here, try this.
What's that?
It's a spoonful of sugar. I've seen the gum you chew. What do you think it's made of? Sugar.
I don't buy bubble gum. I get the healthy gum.
And where do you buy it?
At the store, next to the register.
Right next to the candy bars and all the gummy stuff? Sugar, sorbitol, chemical sweeteners. You should try Spry. It's the gum sweetened with 100% xylitol.
What's xylitol?
Well, it's an all-natural sweetener. It doesn't just freshen your breath. Spry's the gum with proven dental benefits. It helps reduce the risk of tooth decay, builds strong enamel, relieves a dry mouth. This is serious gum, my friend. No sugars, no sorbitol, no garbage. Which means you won't find it in just any candy aisle. You will find Spry where it belongs, at fine retailers. And it tastes great. I chew it all the time.
But you don't have bad breath.
That's what I'm trying to tell you, my friend.
Oh.
Spry gum is part of the Spry Dental Defense System. Products that are 100% sweetened with xylitol. Tastes great and are good for your teeth. You can find them at your local natural products retailer or visit SpryDental.com to find a retailer near you. Spry gum. Tastes great. Less fillings.
The new mainstream of talk radio. Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
Something like a phenomenon. Something like a phenomenon. Something like a phenomenon. Something like a phenomenon.
And welcome back to Conscious Talk Radio. That makes a difference. Hey, the quick reminder here, it's ConsciousTalk.net. That's the website. You can hear this show and all the shows we do for free. They're podcasts for free. They're in our archive section for, you know, right now about 2 years. And we do this for free because you're supporting our sponsors, and we thank you so much for that. I'm Rob Spears.
And I'm Brenda Michaels. And joining us now is J.V. Galindo. He wrote The Power of Thinking Differently, An Imaginative Guide to Creativity, Change, and the Discovery of New Ideas. His website is thinking-differently.com, thinking-differently.com. And, J.V., when we went to break, I mentioned that we were going to talk about some of the myths around, you've debunked a lot of the myths around, you know, some of our creative things. So can we go through some of those myths?
Sure.
You know, what are the creative myths out there?
Well, in the, I think the beginning of my book, I list about, 10 or so.
Mm-hmm.
And, one of the major ones is the fact that some people don't see themselves as being able to be creative because they think it's only reserved for, you know, special types of people,
right?
You know, artists or savants. But the truth is, when you look at our biology, when you look at how our brain operates, we all have the ability to find new ideas and creative insights. And the most glaring evidence of that is just by looking at our childhood, seeing how creative we were when we were younger.
Mm-hmm. I remember growing up in a very small town in eastern Washington. And, you know, I was thinking when I was reading your book, JV, I don't remember, and I could be wrong, but I don't ever remember my folks ever using the word creative. I don't remember it being in any conversations. I don't remember us talking in school about being creative. And so I grew up with that very linear mind, you know. I never realized that I was a creative being. And I actually had this myth. I actually believed when I got older that I wasn't creative because I wasn't that kind of creative type, that artsy-fartsy type of person, you know, so that I wasn't creative until I, you know, realized that that was really a myth.
Oh, yeah. And one of the issues, too, is that most people only relate it to certain types of people in terms of, you know, being an artist or being a painter or a musician, when you can use this for anything, to solve life problems, solve social problems, to be more conscious of yourself, of who you are. So, yeah.
Well, there is, and you have them in your book, there is this whole list of things that people will recognize about how we block our creativity. But there are some things that creative people have in common that we can certainly model. And what might some of those be?
Well, there was a study done by a psychology professor over in Harvard. And the number one common bond or common trait amongst those who were deemed creative was really their motivation. You know, this intrinsic motivation to do whatever it is that they're doing creatively. So I could narrow it down to a nutshell would be to say, if you love doing something, you're more likely to be creative at it.
Mm. Mm.
Or if there's something you want to be creative at, your best bet is to enjoy it.
Right. Yeah. I think when we allow ourselves to have a little play and adventure and curiosity in it, that's when we really get creative. But, you know, this is a timely book. So why is it time now to think differently?
Oh, well, you know, one of the things that struck me when I first had the idea of putting this book together was just the turmoil that we're seeing all around us within the U.S., globally, the economic collapse, issues with the environment. And it seemed to me that there was so much emphasis in corporate America on trying to find new ideas and trying to find creative solutions to business problems. But I didn't see why we couldn't apply those same things to other aspects of our lives, especially things important like the economy and the environment.
Mm-hmm.
So in that respect, I think it's important. And individually, I think in some sense we're, as a culture, suffering from a deprivation of soul in a way.
Mm.
And by that I mean we've kind of lost touch of being in tune with who we are at our root. And part of that is because we're inundated with convention. We're inundated with a story from culture that tells us how we're supposed to be in the world, what job we're supposed to have, how we're supposed to behave, what we're supposed to value, you know. And being able to think creatively, think differently about these things, brings us, gives us the tool to be more in touch with our authenticity, with our authentic self.
Yeah, and that really is, you know, I love what you're saying about our habitual thinking, and we see that in kind of things like our snap responses. You know, we have answers for so many things, but we tend to not take the moment and look and go, well, wait a minute, is that really working? Because we've been doing this for a long time. It's why we love talking about consciousness, because change comes when you make a shift in consciousness. And for instance, you know, we keep looking at what really the existent huge economy in this country is a war economy.
Yeah.
But you could take those resources and take all of those skills that we use to make bombs and things that don't recirculate in the economy and turn them into things that save the environment or, you know, create different kinds of energy so that we don't need oil to create a huge military machine to protect those supply lines. I mean, it's kind of nuts, but if we can't see another way of doing it, we can't get there. Isn't that kind of the problem?
Oh, it's a huge problem. I mean, we have a huge problem of habit, a huge problem of doing things the way we've always done them, not because there's no other way of doing it, but because we just don't want to use the effort to think differently about the situation. It's just too easy for us to do things the way we've always done it.
Well, don't you think, JV, that we're limited by our stories, what we tell ourselves, you know, the stories that we have, the perceptions that we have about things? Are we not limited by all that in thinking creatively and coming up with creative solutions?
Absolutely. And that's probably the biggest point of my book, is the fact that we should really take time to be more consciously aware of the stories we tell ourselves, the stories that we use to impose meaning onto the world. And that's why I refer to my brand of creativity, if you want to call it a brand, as meaning deepening creativity.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So when
mm-hmm.
when a painter looks at a blank canvas, what I really say to him, if he has a block, is we need to expand his awareness of possible meanings of that canvas.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, you know, over Thanksgiving, we played a game with a group that we were with. We played a wonderful game, and it really was all about being creative because there were, you know, you picked a word that out of a box, and it was a word, believe me, that nobody ever heard of, and the spellings were crazy.
Yeah, right.
But it was a fun game, and then they gave you.
Well, you had to make up
a meaning for
word.
That word, which gets your juices going to be creative. And what was so fun about this game is that, you know, it really drew on our creativity. It wasn't about getting the word right, because we'd never even heard of these words, but we could barely spell them.
Right, but we would come up with meanings like, you know, this word means the mold on a lumberjack sandwich.
Yeah,
you know, something like that.
Like... And we were all laughing so much. We had so much fun. We played it for over 2 hours.
Yeah.
But what I really got, and I remembered as I had read your book, you used humor a lot. You talk about humor a lot as being creative.
Oh, thanks for bringing that up. I mean, humor and a sense of play are so important.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason why they are, and I'll start with humor first, is that humor really is exercises our ability to think of alternative meanings. So when we think of a joke, we have a punchline, we have a certain sense of what that means, and then when we hear the we have a certain sense of what it means. And when we hear the punchline, that changes our perception of the whole joke. And secondly, humor brings us into a lighter sense of being, a lighter mood, a more relaxed state. And stress has the ability to lock down our perceptions. So humor works in those two ways.
Yeah.
A sense of, I'm sorry.
No, that's okay. What it brought up for me was I remember all of those times where people would try to write you off at saying, you know, you're a he's overly creative. And, but, you know, what we've discovered is that, you know, we've gone down the other road of staying inside the box, and getting outside the box is where we need to go. And, you know, folks, the name of the book is The Power of Thinking Differently by J.V. Galindo, and you can check it out on his website, which is thinking-differently.com. That's thinking-differently.com.
And we're really glad that you're thinking differently, J.V., and thank you. Folks, this is really a good book. It really does get you out of the rut of what you do and habitually think every day. It's really a great help, and we really enjoyed it, JV. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, and imagine folks supporting our authors here by buying those books.
Mm-hmm. Well, that wraps it up for us this hour here on Conscious Talk, folks. But before you run off to your busy day, I'd like to leave you with a quote from JV's book, Thinking Differently. We are not our perceptions. We are the holders of our perceptions. Have a great day, and we'll see you next time on Conscious Talk.